Before we go on, I just want to mention a couple other points related to some of the Tzuras HaPesach discussions we've had until now, specifically about the telegraph and telephone poles and Tzuras HaPesach Min HaTzad. I mentioned to you last time that there was a tshuva of Rav Yehuda Leib Grabart, who was a rav in Toronto in the 1920s and beyond, who established the first Erev in Toronto. Tshuvas Chavalim Bin Imim Simen Yud Gimel, Simen Yud Dalet, and afterwards, where he discussed the basis and the issues involved in creating an Erev in Toronto. And one of the suggestions that he made over there, which last time I hadn't seen it inside, but since then I did look at it inside, was that maybe we're not so bothered, we shouldn't be so bothered by Tzuras HaPesach Min HaTzad anymore, because nowadays we construct Tzuras HaPesach or actual doors differently than people used to. And since the problem of Tzuras HaPesach Min HaTzad is a function of Kedav V'Inshi, if you live in a society where it becomes the architectural norm or not an anomaly, then it could be acceptable. So since people will sometimes construct a door frame with a door and have a window over the door part under the post, then maybe that would tell us that Tzuras HaPesach Min HaTzad is not such a problem anymore. Now, he doesn't rely on this alone, but he does present it as a sniff. He writes, and I don't fully understand the mitzias that he's discussing, but he writes that the construction of telegraph poles in Europe that the earlier literature discusses was different than the construction or the appearance of the telephone poles that we're talking about in Toronto or in North America, such that the European telegraph poles were a bigger problem than Assad, either because they went further down or they went in, I'm not sure exactly, and by the American telephone poles, there's less of a Min HaTzad problem, or there's no Min HaTzad problem. It sounds like because the wire meets the pole on the top, or close enough to the top, or there's some difference in Mitzia. So he references that he sent his suggestion to Rav Shlomo David Kahana of Warsaw. You'll recall that Rav Shlomo David Kahana of Warsaw was the one that Rav Kasher quoted his letter as saying that the basis of constructing an Erev in Warsaw, even after the population exceeded Shishim Ribo, was the fact that there was no street that was Mefulash Mishar Vashar Lishum Ikum. Fine. So he sent this Shaila to Rav Shlomo David Kahana and asked whether his distinction between the European construction of poles and the Americans' construction of poles was correct and relevant, and he reprinted, Rabbi Graber reprinted the response of Rav Shlomo David Kahana, Chavalim Din Imim Simen Yotefs, in which apparently it sounds like he sent him pictures and responded based on the pictures of the diagrams that the distinction was indeed correct, and in Toronto there was less of a problem of Min HaTzad. Nevertheless, Rav Groybart writes that in order to be Yotze Choladeos, he followed the advice of the Shari Tzion, the Bilster Eloi, in putting a kana alongside the poles, and putting a colloquial lechi alongside the poles, such that the wire would definitely go over that additional lechi and not cause a problem with Min HaTzad v'choladeos. I was listening to one of the tapes of Rav Schechter's Erevin Shirim, and he mentioned, so I'm not sure exactly what the reference was, because it sounds like from the Tshuvas Chavalim Bin Imim that he accounted for all the possible objections to his use of the telephone poles, but the way Rav Schechter said it was that the original Toronto Erev relied on not being concerned about Min HaTzad because of the suggestion that nowadays a Tzuras HaPesach Min HaTzad is sufficiently Kedav D'Inshi and therefore not a problem, and this is attributed to the Maharsham, and some people complained to Rav Moshe at some point that he should issue some kind of a proclamation that the Toronto Erev should not be relied upon because of this cool of the Maharsham. And Rabbi Aaron Felder, Rabbi Gedalia Felder's son, who was Mishamish Moshe at the time, told him that Rav Groybart was lying on the Maharsham, and he learned by the Maharsham, and therefore he was relying on his Mesorah, and Rav Moshe didn't issue any proclamation against the Tzarat HaRev. So I'm not sure exactly what the whole story there was, but Lemaisa, it sounds, at least from the Chuvin print, that he didn't rely on any of these suggestions about Minasad Lemaisa, and he followed the more conventional approach of putting the lappy alongside the pole to avoid any potential Minasad problem. In this letter of Shlomo David Kahana, Simon Yotess, in the Chaval and Bina'imim, he quotes something else, B'Shem Reb Chaim, which I didn't see anywhere else. Reb Chaim passed away in Warsaw 1918, I think, give or take a year. And Shlomo David Kahana was in Warsaw. So I assume he definitely had something to do with Chaim, although he says that he heard it B'Shem Reb Chaim, not from him directly, it sounds like. But he attributes to Reb Chaim what he refers to as a Svara Chadasha about Min HaTzad. I'm not 100% sure that my presentation is accurate, but this is what it sounds like he's saying based on the rudimentary pictures that he has in the Tshuva. It sounds like he's saying the following, that Min HaTzad is a problem where I have this is an aerial view. So this is the top of each kana. Okay, this is the kana mikan, the kana mikan. This is the top, the aerial view of the kana. And the kana al-gabeyan, this is al-gabeyan, it, in the side view, goes like this. So, if I understand the pictures correctly, he's saying that in this seer, again, this is the aerial view, where I have the Kana Al-Gabayan joining the Kana Mikan and Kana Mikan in the middle. This is not a problem with Minasad. Minasad is where the Kana Al-Gabayan connects on the outer side of the Kana Mikan and Kana Mikan, and then somehow goes like that. I mean, the picture that he draws is like this, that it's going east-west. And the Kana Agabeyan joins from the northern side and not from the east-west side. It's not connected over here, some of it's connected over here, so it's external to the Tzuras HaPesach, and that's considered Minasad. But if it's joined in this picture, like that, even though it's what we call Minasad, if it just goes at the shortest point of connection over here, that would be okay. You take a look on that. That's my read of what he's saying. But I haven't seen this quoted elsewhere, and it's definitely not relied upon as far as I know anywhere. Yeah.
In other words, the first tier that you drew, just like what we thought was normal, is normal. You're saying he's got this Mechudosh type of Minasad.
What do you mean what we thought is normal?
The first picture you drew.
The first picture we drew is what we always call Minasad, and he quotes from Chaim, that's not called Minasad.
That would be okay.
That would be okay. Minasad is only if the point of connection is over here.
Oh, well,
the northern side, not on the east-west side.
Gotcha.
Okay. In the literature about the... Fine. And then speaking of the Toronto Erev, the Toronto Erev was expanded again in the 1950s. There was Rav Avram Price, who was one of the leading postmen in Toronto at the time, together with Rabbi Gedalia Felder. So he wrote a lengthy essay in Hapardes 1951, Teves Tavshin Yir Aleph, Hapardes Teves Tavshin, in which he explains the basis of his plans to expand the Toronto Erev, and he invites any responses. So there he has another exclusion of what he thinks isn't a problem in Assad. And again, I'm not exactly sure I understand the Mitzvah, but it sounds like what he's describing is what we had previously discussed in the context of Lavud by Tzuras HaPesach. We quoted the Chazon Ish and others who think that you can't rely on Lavud when it comes to Tzuras HaPesach because that's not considered a Tzuras HaPesach Kedav D'Inshi. So I think what he's describing is where you have a Kana Yadur Pol, and then you have certain protrusions coming outside of the Pol, and those protrusions, what he calls Shlivot, rungs, I guess. Is that Hebrew for rungs? You check. We call Shlivot, are coming out, and they're all within a sheer load of each other. And then that is enough to create a what we would call a lechi on the side of the kana. So even if it would have been min asad of the real kana, it's not min asad of this protrusion because the wire goes over the protrusion. So he's assuming that we do rely on lavu when it comes to Tzuras HaPesach, and it sounds like they were relying on this in the reconstructed Toronto Eruv.
Like the
rungs,
go up?
It's rungs that are somehow functional, that could be. It sounds like they're rungs that were erected by the power company or the telephone company for their use. So whether they're used to climb or something else, not sure. He does raise the issue. Well, maybe the whole basis of Lavud is that we view it as kesasim. But the people who constructed this pole didn't want it to be kesasim, because if it was sasim, then it wouldn't be functional for them. I guess, let's say, they needed to climb up the side. So can you halakhically view something as halakhically kesasim, where that's against the intention of the person who constructed that reality. So he has a lengthy explanation as to why he thinks that's not a problem. Okay. In the literature about the original Lower East Side Eruv of 1905, one of the essays that we reprinted in the Kol Tzvi, in Kol Tzvi Zion, was a little kuntres written by Yehuda David Warenstein, who was one of the earlier Rosh Yeshiva, this yeshiva. This yeshiva back then was on the Lower East Side. But he apparently learned in Slobodka, and he came to America and was one of the founders of Yeshivas of Yitzchak Elchanan. And he wrote this little kuntres called Hilchos HaRabsa L'Shabsa, which was a kuntres opposing the Eruv that was constructed and endorsed by the Shep Sarov of Yeshua Siegel in the very early part of the 20th century. So he writes here that the Shep Sarov's analysis of how you could construct an Eruv on the Lower East Side assumed that the elevated railroad tracks would function as mechitzas on one side. So we previously had discussed how elevated railroad tracks may or may not function as mechitzas based on pitzakrot. You'll recall that we quoted Rav Moshe and Rav Henkin, who both had the analysis that you can't use pitzakra for in an elevated railroad track to serve as a mechitza for the area outside of the railroad track, because the intention of the tikra there is to service the area underneath the railroad or of the railroad track and not external to the railroad track. That was Ramosha's suggestion as to why you can't rely on Pitikra. He discusses, apparently, he was responding, Rav Warenstein was responding to the argument that maybe the elevated railroad track side could function as a Tzuras HaPesach, because you had the railroad track is the Kan Al Gabeah, and then you have whatever part of the structure is holding it up.
The Tzuras HaPesach
is what? Tzuras HaPesach would be
the actual structure,
right. So he says that can't be, because that would be a problem with Min Asad. It definitely doesn't go fully Al Gabeah. And he accuses the person who constructed the Eruv, he accuses the Matirim of the original Eruv on the Lower East Side of not actually walking through the neighborhood to see what these things look like. On page 31 of the Kol Tzvi here. V'negod alechad v'asur lahatir l'talta v'shabes v'ir New York v'mizrach ha'ir mitam l'chitza sayam v'sur es'tzachim shel mesila sabarzo ha'veres midar v'metzafon v'mechil mekvodo v'irov tirdasu v'so busy lo v'spika lo ha'es v'vakir v'lachir v'chavachir. You don't have time to actually look around the city to see what was there. Because obviously there are many issues. Among them, this would be a problem with the Pesach on the side. He talks about depopulation and other objections as well. Okay. So I told you to look at Rav Schechter's lengthy footnote in the Dikvei Hatzon, pages Kuf Kaf Dalet to Kuf Kaf Vav, about ground level. So Rav Schechter assumes that Misvara, you can't have a Mechisa that is being Makif one ground level, function as a mechisa to be makif a different ground level. And he presents that this seems to be the subject of a machlokas in Hilchos Sukkah. Now the din, as you know, in the beginning of a Hilchos Sukkah is that you can't have a sukkah that's lamala, you can't have a schach that's lamala mi'asr mama. You can't have an area of more than 20 amos between the ground and the schach. So the Rush in the beginning of Sukkah, Perek Aleph, Siman Dalet, has the following machlokas rishonim. What happens if you build the platform in the middle of the Sukkah and the distance between the top of the platform and the schach is less than 20 amos, but the distance between the actual ground and the schach is more than 20 amos? So what is the status of that Sukkah? So the Rush writes, Bana Itztava Be'emsa, if you build this platform in the middle of the Sukkah, the Sukkah that otherwise was more than 20 amos tall. Im yesh misvas itzva v'lakosel arba amos l'chol tzad fisula. So if there's a distance of more than 4 amos between the edge of the platform and the walls of the sukkah, that is possible, because you can't rely on dofen akuma. Hachas mikan kishera darmina dofen akuma l'chol tzad. But if the area between the edge of the platform and the wall is less than 4 amos, so then we view the platform as essentially the entirety of the sukkah, and then you can rely on dofen akuma as long as the area to the side is less than 4 amos. Fine. Then the Rush quotes, "Kata Brits Geos, Ubuldan Shalotehe Istva Gavoa Neasar Tvachim." That is provided that the platform is not itself more than 10 tvachim tall. There is just a heresy. Because a 10 tefach tall platform is considered a different rishus, and that different rishus, as a different rishus, it doesn't have a shaykhus, it's not connected to, it can't use the walls, even if there are less than 4 amos between the edge of the platform and the walls of the sukkah. Okay? That's what the Rush quotes on the Ritz Gaius, and the Rush comments, V'lo yidana taima, mainav kamina d'rishus achayrus. See, what difference does it make that is considered to be a separate rishus? Keva darmina dofen akuma, we call that. The bottom line, you still say dofen akuma. Hare itzdeva mukafis mukhisos, umuvdeles mishara sukkah. Bottom line, you say dofen akuma, and you have a valid shir sukkah. Vidamya dulasukkah medes verosha gag, there's just a heresy, lagabi chatzer, ubala iter of shira gam kein afila gavo. Yes, he quotes the bala iter as well. It says that it doesn't make a difference whether the platform is more than 10 tefachim removed from the ground or less than 10 tefachim removed from the ground. La halacha we pass in the Shulchan Aruch like the Rush. Simin Tav Reish Lamed Gimel Se'if Zayin. Simin Tav Reish Lamed Gimel Se'if Zayin. The Chavah writes, In Vana Ha'itzav of the Emsa, if you build, we're talking about the whole Simin is about a Sukkah Lamalim Ne'esrim. So the Mechaber writes in Siv Zayin in Bana Istam of Emz, if you build a platform in the middle of the sukkah, in the Yesh Mimenu La Kosa La Kol Tzad Pachas Midal Amos Kishera Ala Istava. So if you have less than 4 amos between the edge of the platform and the walls, you can rely on Dofen Akuma Afilo In Gavo Yosem Yasari, even if the platform is more than 10 tefachim tall. Okay. So Rosh Hashanah says, why is it that we talk and don't pass like Rabbi Magash? Rabbi Magash should be more mistaber that if you have a platform that is more than 10 tefachim tall, that's a rishus b'fnei atzmo. And as an independent rishus, how do you connect that to the walls around the sukkah? There's no shaykes between that and the walls of the sukkah. So he suggests that this is a local machlokas in Hilchos Sukkah, nothing to do with milchitzas b'chol haTorah kula. But when it comes to Hilchos Sukkah, you have a machlokas rishonim. What's the psul if you have a sukkah l'mala me'esrim? Is the psul of a sukkah l'mala me'esrim that if you're standing in an area and the schach is more than 20 amos above where you're standing, that's schach puzzle, as far as you're concerned. That if you have more than 20 amos, it's schach puzzle. Or no, the schach is kosher, just there's a chisaron in the person sitting in the sukkah. That's now, you can't be yotze in the sukkah if there's more than 20 amos between you and the schach, but the schach, the etzem, is kosher. So the Rimagash thinks that the schach, the etzem, is pasul. The schach, the etzem, is pasul. So then, very good. This is a reshus with the atma, such that if you're standing on the istava, the schach above that becomes kasher. But it's not shy to the area on the side. If the gap between the ground level of the area on the side and the schach itself is more than 20 amos. But the other rishonim assume that no, the schach is fundamentally kosher. It has to do with local din in Hilchos Sukkah. But when it comes to Hilchos Mechitzas in general and our discussion of Mechitzas for Shabbos, so then everyone should agree with the Rebbe Magash that a Mechitza has to be shayach to that particular ground level, and if there's going to be a separate Rishos, a drop between one ground level and another, then the Mechitza for one ground level can't help for another ground level. Yeah?
Regarding sukkah, if you think it's a dimin and gavra that the person's not within 20 amos, mm-hmm. Why would you need dokhan akuma?
Well, you still need dokhan akuma because you have to have defanas.
So you have defanas.
Where are your defanas?
They're the ones to the side of you and yours.
But if it's more than Dawud Amos removed, say you don't have dokhan akuma. You don't have that. The defanas have to be halakhically connected to the sukkah chera.
It is a sort of share, just you're not within, maybe I'm just misunderstanding the two sides.
Right.
So saying that it's within the gavra.
Right.
Means if you're somehow within 20 amos of the stock, it should
right.
be fine.
Right.
So why can't you just step on a step ladder? I mean, saying Dopan Kuma, you still
right.
say there's something wrong with the binyan of the sukkah.
It's saying that the schach fundamentally is kasher. There's a chisaron if you're sitting in a sukkah that where there's more than 20 amos between where you're sitting and the area above.
Yeah.
They still have to have kasher defanos. So
what's unkasher about the defanos then?
No, so the defanos also have to be within 20 amos of the schach. Meaning you have to be sitting within 20 amos. I think the defanos still also have to be sitting within 20 amos. The chisaron is a chisaron.
Oh, okay.
Do you have to be sitting in a sukkah where there is less than 20 amos between the bottom of the dofen, as far as you're concerned, in the sukkah, and where you're sitting in the sukkah?
So even according to the shita, says there's it's a gabra, mm-hmm. but it's still a deal of chesed regarding the walls.
Okay, I think so.
He was still allowed to say that. Okay,
I think so. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Fine. So Shachar thinks that this is relevant in a couple of applications. Number one, let's say you have a suicide pass that goes like this, and then okay, this is the ground level, and then you have a sharp decline over here, and you have a new ground level over here. So if you're going to make another Suisa Pesach over here, even though these two Suisa Pesachs lengthwise are sufficiently adjacent to each other, but you can't be Mitzarif them to create a halakha mechitza because there's no shaykhus between this ground level and that ground level.
Were you putting a wire between those two? Is that what you're describing?
I'm not putting a wire between the two, but I'm putting, let's say this is within the love of each other, or within an acceptable distance, or within four talk, or whatever, whatever an acceptable distance between the two sorts of vessels is going to be. So if I measure it lengthwise, the issue is that I can't have this is a Pesach is being marked at this ground level. This is a Pesach is being marked at a different ground level, and there's no shaykhus between the two ground levels. So I can't connect those two Sirus of Pesach.
And therefore, you're saying that there's a break in the walling.
Therefore, I have a break in the Mechitzas.
Hey, but there's how much space are you talking here? There's a few spots.
It doesn't make a difference, because these are. There's no shaykhus between this area and this area.
There's actually no way to connect the two.
So, right. In this extreme case, there'd be no way to connect the two. So you'd have to be makif some other area with smoother ground. Or, one second, or let's say you have a mound over here, and then you have a mound over here, so you want to make a Tzuris HaPesach. You have the Kanabi Kanas over here, and the Kanabi Kanas over here, like that seer of the rebellion Mizrahi, kind of. So because this Kanabi Kan is on one ground level, this Kanabi Kan is on a different ground level, that would be unacceptable Tzuris HaPesach.
It would be acceptable?
It would be unacceptable. One second. Rabbi Lilly points out, look at the Am Mordechai, Simon Zion, Osei, that the Mashmoth of the Taz is that the Machlokas, the Rosh of the Rimagash, is not limited to Ilchasukah, but it's relevant to Mechitzas Lachala Tarakula. That's the Lashon of the Taz in Sifkat and Ches, and there in Ilchasukah, Taf Resh Ayin Gimel, Sifkat and Ches. Tafresh Lam and Gimel Sifkat and Ches. Tafresh Lam and Gimel Sifkat and Ches. The Taz writes, "The Lor Mina and the Oz have a Itzva Rishis Acher." We don't say that even though the Itzva is 10 Tefachim removed from the ground, we don't say that it's considered Rishis Acher. So it sounds like the Rosh argues on the whole Yisod of the Bein Nagash that even if the Itzva is more than 10 Tefachim, we don't treat that as a separate Rishis. Yeah.
Sorry to ask the same question. I'm just trying to understand what's the issue with the first situation. You're trying to enclose an area with walls.
Right.
And you have two walls that come very close to each other. So showing they don't touch. What's the problem with the sweet spot in between two walls?
The way he presents it is that there has to be a certain continuity between the mechitzas that are being makif in area, and if there is a different ground level, so that harms the continuity.
So for all intents and purposes,
this is a Tzuris HaPesach on the ground, and this is a Tzuris HaPesach in outer space, because they're in different ground levels, and there's no shakus to each other. I think that's the star.
You're telling me that area is not walled in? Which one's not? Both of them are perfectly enclosing the city.
Neither are, because I don't have a continuous Tzuris HaPesach. So if I don't, you have to see where the, if this is all straight over here, if this is all straight over here, so maybe I don't need it because I'll still have, maybe I want to appear to yes or yes, but if I didn't appear to yes or yes, so it would be Kamishena.
It doesn't mean we that we're saying, or maybe I'm just forgetting that we have to have a continuous walling around the city.
Well,
we're not allowed to have any breaks. I mean,
well, you're not allowed to have any breaks. You can't have any breaks that are more than S or Amos.
So it's not yes or yes, so why is...
If it's not yes or yes, so you don't need it anyway.
No, I'm saying,
the
break
between
the two. Why
I'm going to break between the two. I'm going to get this. This is a method, and this is a Pesach aren't connected. So one of them, you know, let's say, if the... so let's say the ground level dips over here, so I have the steep decline, right? And then it goes up again, and then continues over here, right? So, and this is more than 10 amas. So I have a Tzuris of Pesach here, a Tzuris of Pesach here, and a Tzuris of Pesach over here. Right? And then it just continues like that. So this is the part that doesn't belong. So I think you would say that this is a good Tzuris of Pesach, this is a good Tzuris of Pesach.
But that's a good Tzuris of Pesach, how does it just connect?
Right, that's right. But it, correct. As far as the back of the area on the inside, so then... meaning, let's say, right, I guess the, here there's a decline, and then it slopes up this way, such that if I'm walking a few steps into the blackboard, it's flat ground again, right? So then, this is a Pesach that's down here, can serve to be makif the area that's higher up, because there's no, there's no shaykes between this and the higher up area. Now, if you had an area of, let's say you had an area of 4 tefachim of ground that was,
before
the same ground level before that, so then, that's, if you have a shir makom, so then once the Tzuris of Pesach is makif that shir makom, then it can serve to be makif the area further out and also, even if there's then an incline.
Right, but that's something very different. They're already saying just in the last few seconds there that the issue is not that it's contiguous to the rest of the source itself and around the city, but that it can't be mocked in an area further into the city that's above it. I mean, you can't put it at the bottom of a steep hill
right.
And assume it's going to be mocked in an area where everyone else is above. Is that the concern, or is the concern that it... I mean, is the concern that I have to measure the source itself based on its neighboring source itself, or do I have to worry about it being... much lower than where the rest of the city is?
No, it's not that I have to measure it based on the neighboring Tzuris Tzachim per se. It's that if...
Especially if it's a continuous factor, something that really doesn't seem like where that come from. Why should this Tzuris Tzachim not be good? It
right.
Rolled in that area.
Mm-hmm.
It left an Esser, and there's another Tzuris Tzachim there. Would one affect the other?
So...
I understand the last point. The last point makes a lot of sense. That if it can't be mocked in an area where that's higher than it, because it's not shy of, to, you know, the city, it would be so much lower.
Right, so there would only be a chisaron in this case, I think, if that lower Tzuris HaPesach does not makif an area on its level. If it was makif an area on its level, so then it could function to be makif the area further in. But let's say there is no area. Trying to visualize how to present this. meaning if the seer is such that these respective ground levels hold for the entire area that you're bimakif, then this series of Tzuris HaPesach should work, because each one is makif an area that is shy of two. Okay, so maybe you're correct. Okay, so I guess that's... I'll try to clarify that, so that you think you're correct. Then.
So there has to be that there's a shear makom. If there's no shear makom, just right. Putting towards Pesach at the bottom of the slope,
mm-hmm.
It would be very simple. If you want to put a Tzuris Pesach around the bottom of the mountain, just be back at the top, that wouldn't work, because there's certain slopes of the mountain
right.
Would not be falling
that's
off.
That's definitely true. And then, but you're right, where these respective ground levels reflect the continuous ground level going further in, then I think you would be correct that this series of Tzuris Pesach would work. Okay. Avi.
So, according to a chef there, how does one who build an ear with Tzuris HaPesach if you're a terrain change? Or let's say it's a slope without
it's very hard. You have to be creative.
Is any chef giving any solutions to those? Or just
everything, you have to look at every case the way it presents itself.
I'm sorry? There was an issue here in the Heights last year where mm-hmm. I think a certain source of SF was down, then you would have had to rely on a ground level,
mm-hmm.
the ground level situation to mm-hmm. stay down for, or down for. I don't remember the exact details, but mm-hmm.
It's difficult.
The air went down. Shechter said that if you could rely on Shechter's back, apparently they said that he's the only one that's Machner, or whatever.
I think it was the ground level.
It was this? I don't remember.
Yeah. That's where Eric was looking.
Older Rabban were tumbling about it, because he's the Machner, but apparently he's without the opposite. Yeah.
Well, the ground level you won't find in Svarim. Although in the New English in the New English Eir Sefer, he has in the back pictures for thought. He has like two pages of pictures that we don't have time to discuss in this volume, but these are things that you should ask the Pesach about because they're complicated. So it looked like a couple of the pictures deal with ground level issues. I don't know what they hold over there. But this is an issue. I remember going with Rosh Hashanah and some other Rabbanim to look at the Tinek Erev about 12 years ago where they're making some improvements and we encountered some ground level issues and the slope below Route 4. I'm trying to figure out how to get around that. Not always so simple. Sammy?
Just going back to the Russian hookup, mm-hmm. assuming that when they talk about the platform that we're applying, I mean, I don't know, I understand that you usually apply those at Kula, is it?
No, so we are still using the top, but we're saying that if we view if it's within four amos.
We view all that stock within that area as the puzzle stock.
Right. Okay. Right. So make your lines open. Okay, so I don't think we have time to start the next topic. So on Wednesday, Rosh Hashem, we'll begin discussing Sealed Mephisos. I sent a few more Makomas yesterday. And that should be the last topic for the moment.